Hallelujah.
If you have the Bibles, which I believe you should be with, turn with me to look at Mark 16. Are you in Mark 16? Mark 16, 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be what? Condemned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, right? They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So one of the things we have been dealing with particularly is about the laying on of hands. What's the ministry of laying on of hands, right? Why do we lay hands? We lay hands because God has said that we will lay hands and things will happen. We lay hands because God in Christ has practiced the laying on of hands and will see that things will happen. So we started explaining John 20. Look at John 20 quickly. John 20. John 20, John 20, 22. Are you in John 20?
Yes, sir.
Look at verse 22. It says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, we said that the foundation of this teaching will be found in the writings of who? Moses and the prophets. Because Jesus did not have the ability to quote Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians. So Jesus will only have the ability to teach between Genesis to Malachi. So when he says, receive you the Holy Ghost, we're able to explain from the teachings of Ezekiel. Ezekiel and the Valley of the Dry Bones. Right? And the word of God says, prophesy over those bones, breathe into them, and you will breathe by prophesying, and the bones will receive what? Life. That's similar to what Moses wrote fundamentally about how God formed man and breathed into his nostril. Now, we said that that conversation is not about God taking his nose to put inside the nose of man so that man could breathe. No, that's not the conversation at all. Yeah, it's a fundamental conversation that we will see as explained in the ministry of Jesus. So the Bible says, he breathed on them and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, we started explaining that they were to receive the Holy Ghost from a man. Is that true? We said they were going to receive the Holy Ghost from a man. And we said something important, which is important I want you to take note again today. We said that man is what? God's method. Say, man is God's method. So man is God's method. Man has always been and will always be God's method. So we try to explain what heaven and earth in the real sense speaks about. And it speaks about a combination of the supernatural and the natural. Not necessarily where dead people go to as heaven, then earth is where you stay when you are alive. No, we have received heaven right now because we've received all the what? Supernatural. So we said that a man who believes the gospel has received of heaven and is found in heaven in Christ Jesus. And by extension, he is anointed. Yesterday's teaching, right? Anointed, right? Anointed king. Anointed priest, and I from the anointed what? Nation, which is from the anointed seed. So it means that every believer who has come into Christ is what? Anointed. Say, I'm anointed. Say, I'm anointed. Say, I'm full of power. I'm full of glory. So there is no believer that is an ordinary being. The moment you receive the Holy Ghost, you've ceased to be an ordinary being. Are we together? You've ceased to be an ordinary being. You are now one who has the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and you've received that from the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a man. So man will continually be God's method in the earth. So your body is God's vessel. Are we together? Though it looks normal, your body is God's strategy on the earth. Though it looks normal, your body is God's strategy on the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So we started looking at laying on of hands, which this is our third track. And we started looking at examples about laying on of hands to heal. Luke 4:40, where we see that Jesus laid hands on them and healed them all. We saw Mark 6, verse 3 to 5. You can just take those notes down. We taught it already on Wednesday. Mark 6, 3 to 5. When Jesus went into his hometown, they did not honor him. But despite the lack of honor, Bible tells you that Jesus laid hands on a few folks and he still what? He got them healed. Are we together? We're speaking about how even though, yes, honor is important in receiving, the truth is that a man of God should not put his heart in a place where he cannot minister because he feels they don't honor him. Are we together? Are we together? You know, honor changes across the countries. So if you are in Nigeria, where you are pastoring a Yoruba church, for instance, and everybody is lying down to greet you, and you are one way or another found in the UK, expecting people to lie down and greet you, only you will be the member and the pastor. Are we together? It doesn't change the fact that they honor you. So when we speak about when Jesus went into his hometown, they looked at him, is that not the carpenter's son? What does he have to offer? But despite that, Jesus still looked for how to lay hands, and it worked. Yes, you might say, definitely a few people that came around, they made themselves available for his hand to touch them in one way or another honor. But the truth remains that we see an example. No, Jesus could have as well, because the Bible tells us that he laid hands on some folks and he healed them. It means that you can assume or get to a conclusion that they had more people in this honor in that state or in that city than people that had honor. So he could have decided to take the total number of the more people and decide to categorize all of them as dishonorable and leave the city. But in that, he still looked for those amongst the those who he would lay hands on. Bible tells you in Mark 6, they were healed. We also looked at Romans chapter 1, verse 10, when Paul says he looks forward to see them physically so he can impart to them to the end that they what? That they will grow, or that they will be established, sorry. Romans 1, verse 10 to 12. I'm doing a recap. Are we together? So it means that there's such a thing as physical impartation from body to body. Why? Because man is a transmitter of God's power. That's important to note. Man is a transmitter, a custodian, and can transmit God's power. So your hands are not ordinary. Your hands are not ordinary. Say, my touch is God's touch. Say, my touch is God's touch. Say, my touch. Say like you mean it, right? Say, my touch is God's touch. You know that song we're singing when we're growing up, or as we're growing up, before they say I've grown. My hands are blessed. My hands are blessed with the of the Lord, with the blessings. You know, we usually use it for offering. My hands are blessed. My field. With the blessings of the Lord. Hold on, touch your neighbor. Anyone I touch. Hold on. We've been teaching about supernatural recognition. And you are still smiling casually to touch your neighbor and receive the hand of the touch of your neighbor. You know you can. You know I don't have to touch you before something happens to you right now. So let's sing it again and touch you with a sense of recognition for who is touching me. So look at neighbor and say, I'll touch you. And something will happen to you. Right? So get close to your neighbor and say, just choose one neighbor, the one neighbor you will touch. Say, I will touch you and something will happen to you. You know what's touch mommy? Better touch anybody who wants to touch. Say, I will touch you and something will happen to you. Say, I will touch you and something will happen to you. Say, God's power can be transmitted by my touch because my hands are full of power. I have the ability of the Holy Ghost. So let's sing together. My hands are blessed. Is it filled? My hands are filled with the blessings of the Lord. All right, let's sing together. My hands are filled with the blessings of the Lord. My hands are filled. It's not sounding weird, but with the blessing of the Lord. Anyone I touch surely must be blessed. My hands are blessed with the blessings of the Lord. Now let's sing it this way. My hands are filled with the power of the Lord. My hands are filled with the power of the Lord. And everyone I touch surely must be blessed. My hands are filled with the blessings of the Lord, with the power of the Lord. Hallelujah! You are no ordinary person. Look at your hands. Everyone, look at me. Look at your hands. See, these hands will minister healing to the sick. The sick shall recover by the laying on of my hands. The sick shall recover by the laying on of my hands. You can lay hands and the sick will recover. Oh, pastor, I've laid hands on someone that was sick before. The person even died rather than recover. Forget it. Hear what God says. They will lay hands on the sick. Who do you want to believe? The report of the death or the report of the Lord? Or the instruction of the Lord? Hallelujah. You will lay again. You will lay again. You stay there. You stay there. So Jesus communicated particularly in the ministry of healing by the laying on of what? Of hands. So it's not far-fetched to see that the instruction now says, whoever lays hand in my name, they shall what? Be healed. They shall lay hands on the what? Sick, and they shall be what? Healed. Hallelujah. We saw a few examples of Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 verse 6 to 7 when they saw the man at the gate of the beautiful gate, you know, and they tried to say, silver and gold we have not, but what we have we give unto you. What did they say unto him again? Rise up and walk. And in that moment, the Bible tells you that they held him by the hand and adjusted his leg and made him to stand upright, and he walked. So there's something about touch, and I'm not ignorant of that. So either you feel or don't feel, your body remains a transmitter of. Look at 2 Kings, transmitter of God's power. 2 Kings 13, 21. Second King, chapter 13, verse 31. Verse 21, rather. 2 Kings 13, verse 21. Are you there? Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles. Let's read this together. Next Sunday, we know what to do with the aces. 2 Kings 13, verse what? 21. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of who? What is sepulchre? Grave burial ground of Elijah. Now what happened? And when the man was let down and he touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood up on his feet. Did you see that? Did you see that? The bones of a dead man rose a man back to life. The bones of a dead man rose a man. I'll say this on Wednesday. You see, you might be, you, it's not a, it's regardless of how you feel. I told you of someone who I got healed in the UK as well, who, when I got him healed, I was having severe back pain. Mine was not healed. But what I allowed to dawn on me was that irrespective of how I feel, I'm still a transmitter of God's power. I don't need to feel everything all well before I know I can communicate God's power. You can be having headache and pray for the sick. You can have headache and raise the dead. It's not about what you have or what you don't have. It's about giving instruction, or giving heed rather, to the instruction and the commandment that says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know what it is for a dead bone to raise a man back to life? That's power. For it to have gone to bone, it means that he didn't die yesterday. Before you say the power is still residual. For it to turn to bone, and they say they chill the body into, and as soon as they touch the bone, the guy came back to life. That is Elisha. So, in the real sense, God's ability, God's power, right, is something you've received by the receiving of the Holy Ghost. So, the dead body of a believer can raise another man. I hope you know that. You know, I give you an example of communicating through a handkerchief and passing it to a country, and the man that received it in the country got healed. Remember that story? Remember that story? Right? And that handkerchief would have passed from DHL Abuja, DHL Abuja Airport, DHL Lagos Airport, to DHL UK Airport, to post office of it. And yet, God's power was still communicated as soon as the person just opened the handkerchief. By the laying on of hands. So, we see primarily that Jesus ministered healing through the laying on of hands. So, in spite of how you feel, when hands are laid, things happen. Say, things happen. Look at how Moses writes about laying on of hands. Look at Leviticus 16:21. Leviticus 16, verse 21. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, I'm bold. 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 Are you Leviticus 16? Verse what? 21. Right? And Aaron shall lay both his what? Hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the what? The children of Israel. Right? And all their what? Transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. So that's a practice of, you know, the high priest and all those things of lay hands on the goat and it goes into the wilderness. You know, but it was a practice that needed to be done by the priest. So the priest will lay hands on the goat and decree or say or confess the transgressions and the sins of the people. Are we together? So when hands are laid, things can happen. Are you here? Are you here? So as a believer, by default, you are an automatic God. You are a transmitter of God's power. Are we together? Why? Because man is God's method. Say, man is God's method in the air. That is why if you can't receive from your relatives, you can't receive from your friends, you can't receive from your brother, then you have a lot to check about your Christian faith. Do you get that? If your fellow believer that is your sister, because your sister should be first seen as a believer before seen as your blood sister. The supernatural relationship is worth more than the physical relationship. So if you can't receive from your husband, you can't receive from your wife, it means that there is a lot you need to check about your understanding. And so it seems to be deliberate that we thought about the woman in Christ before we are teaching about laying on of hands. Are you here? That means your wife can lay hands on you. Are we together? Are we together? Your wife can lay hands on you. Your wife can lay hands on you. Your sister can lay hands on you as a guy. Your cousin sister too. Are we together? So when you see a believer, see God's power housed in human form. Did you hear that? When you see a believer, you see God's power housed in human form. That's the post-God of power. That's the address of power. You know, I gave an example a few months ago, maybe last Christ said, right? When I say, if you go to Google Map and you're searching for God's power, it will point, it will find you. You know how when you find God's palace, it will just do all the whole map and now bring you to area one. You now see that red sign. When you search God's power, right? Anywhere there's a believer, you just see arrow, 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 arrow. Why? Because man is the custodian of God's power in the earth. Why? Because man has received from heaven. Man has received the supernatural, the spiritual. So man is no ordinary man as a believer. That's why we sing, situations give way to us. All we see ought to be possibilities. No matter what you experience in life, all you ought to see is possibilities. I'm a supernatural man. So I'm a man of the spirit, and I give expression to the spirit of God in me. Look at Genesis 48 verse 14. Genesis 48, verse 14. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger. Now, who is Ephraim? He's the younger, definitely. Who is Ephraim? Joseph's son, right? Who is Israel? Jacob now, right? So Jacob laid... sorry, Jacob. Jacob is Israel, the father of Joseph. Then Joseph. So Joseph's father is Israel, that is Jacob, right? And he's laying hands on his grandchildren. Lovely, you get that, right? So, and Israel laid hands, stretched it out to his right hand, and he laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the what? Younger, and his left hand upon what? Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the what? Firstborn. Now, in their culture, the right hand ought to be on the oldest. Are we together? Then the other hand on the youngest. But what did Jacob do? He crossed it. You know? That's where strife comes in. I mean, for instance, someone like Joseph, was he the one that's supposed to lead their family? Was he the one? Who was Joseph? Joseph was the last born. Second to the last, rather. Right? Second to the last and last, and he's in WhatsApp group. So, in the real sense, he says that, and he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did. Now, for Joseph, look at 16. Now, the angel which redeemed me from all evils blessed these lads, and let my name be named on them, and name of their fathers Abraham, Isaac, and let them grow into what? Multitude in the midst of the earth. Now, let's read 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it what? Displeased what? Him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto what? Manasseh. If Joseph did not know things happen when hands are laid, he didn't need to bother doing that. Abi? If it was a ceremony, he didn't need to bother doing that. So it means that Joseph as well knew that there was something about when hands are laid. Are we together? So the laying of hands is a doctrine and as well a what? A practice. Let me show you an example quickly in Numbers 27. Numbers 27, quickly, verse 15. Are you there? Numbers 27:15. Are you there? Please now, are you there or not? Okay, you're not there. Okay, that's why you're not. That's fine. I'll get there quickly. Numbers 27, verse 15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, verse 16, let the Lord, the God of the spirit of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, and which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, and that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep without a what? Now let's read verse 18 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord said unto Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is there, and lay thy hands upon him, and set him before Elias the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him the charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thy honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be what? Obedient. Look at verse 23, Numbers 27, 23. Are you there? 1, 2, 3, go. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hands of Moses. Now go to Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Are you there? Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. Check your Bibles. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Are you there? Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit and of... The spirit of what? Wisdom. For what? So did Moses lay hands on Joshua? Did something happen? What happened? He became full of wisdom. You see, Moses now... The writer of Deuteronomy 34 now tells you that he was full of wisdom because... That means when Joshua begins to operate in a dimension, when he begins to operate in a dimension of wisdom, he can trace it back to a day that hands were laid on him. Are you here? Say, things happen when hands are laid. Things happen when hands are laid. So can we say that was impartation? Was that impartation? Is that what Paul said in Romans 1 verse 10 when he says, I desire to see you so that I might lay hands on you to the end that you might be what? Established. Oh, didn't mention lay hands on you, but definitely to see so I can touch. Are you following me? So things happen when hands are laid. So while believers can lay hands, listen to me carefully, whilst every believer can lay hands, there are also special offices and ministry amongst believers that not everybody will function in. You do get that? Whilst every believer can lay hands, there are certain functions or responsibilities that is not every believer that will function in. Imagine every day we come to church, every day one of us is just laying hands on all of us. Right? There's such a thing called order in God's holy nation. So while some of us are kings, I'm a priest, I'm a king. Right? Never forget, things happen where hands are laid. Establish that in your mind. If you forget anything, just remember, Numbers 27, Moses laid hands on him. Deuteronomy 34, Bible tells you that Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom because hands were laid on him by Moses. Are you here? So whilst every believer can lay hands, are we together? Whilst every believer can lay hands, not every believer will function in certain offices and what? Ministries. So let's give a few examples of how hands can be laid and how, or certain offices that not every believer are functioning. So now, believers can lay hands on believers and put them in ministry or leadership position. But the first believers will not be any believer. Did you get that? Let me say it this way. You can lay hands on people. So we've looked at one example of what laying hands does. You can communicate what? Healing. Luke 4:14, Mark 6. We looked at that on Wednesday. So you can communicate healing through laying on of hands. You can communicate what? Impartation. Or impartation can be done through laying on of hands. Now this is another one. You can ordain people or put people into more responsibility, which you will call ministry. So you can lay hands on people and put them in ministry for leadership position. Together, you can lay hands on people and put them in ministry for leadership position. Is there anybody that can do that? Just go to the church and go look for somebody and say, come, lay hands on. You want to start your church? I ordain you to start your ministry. Right? Not everybody does that. Are we together? But every believer can lay hands and things will happen. You know, that's why you see Paul in 1 Timothy 5:22. You can write that down. He says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sin, keep thyself pure. You're talking about ordaining people into that position and all of that. Look at Acts 6. Acts chapter 6. Acts 6:3. Are you in Acts 6? Are you there? Can we read quickly? Look at Acts 6:2. 1, 2, 3, go. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out amongst ye 7 men of honest report, full of the what? Full of the Holy Ghost and what? Wisdom, whom we may appoint over the business. What business? Business of serving tables now. Are we together? The apostles were saying, Kai, we can't be serving tables and be teaching the word. Let some other people serve table and they will be deacons. Right? So he now says, verse 4, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of. Does that mean those that serve table will not pray and go to the word? No, now. He's talking about order and leadership position when it comes to local assembly. Now, look at verse 5. He says, and the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose who? A man full of what? A man full of faith and of the what? Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Permanus, and Nicholas, proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And what happened? When they had prayed, they what? Laid their hands on them. So they set those people to serve table, and they laid hands on them. Look at verse 7. And the word of God increased. What does the word of God increase? It means that more people were brought into the fold. Are we together? The word of God increases where we see people being established in the place of ministry or established in local assembly or in God's vineyard, right? So, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to them to faith. Now look at verse 8. Let's read verse 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. When it says in verse 5, it says Stephen, a man full of what? Faith and what? Faith and the what? Now, what about verse 8? And Stephen, full of what? Faith and what? Power, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. That means something happened after hands were laid on Stephen. Are we together? You know, if you look at verse 3, it says, look for men who are full of the Holy Ghost and what? Wisdom. Right? Which we may appoint. But you now see, he's full of grace, full of faith, and is full of what? Power. So over the verses between verse 3 and verse 8, you can see that something supernatural had happened to Stephen after hands were laid. Are you there? Look at Acts 9. So, is that laying on of hands to commit people into ministry in the local assembly? But if you look at Acts 9, verse 15. Are you in Acts 9, 15? Acts 9, 15. The Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, this Ananias regarding Paul, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Let's read verse 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and laying, is that the word there? Is that the word there? Putting his hands, is that laying? So, and laying his hands on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, appeared unto thee in the way that thou comest, and has sent me that thou may what? Receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Are we together? And be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the scales fell off his eyes, and he received the sight, and he was what? Baptized. So Ananias laid hands on who? Brother Saul or brother Paul? Look at Acts 13. So you see all around the book of Acts, you see a practice of what? The laying on of hands. So it's a practice, it's a doctrine and a practice. So look at Acts chapter 14, verse 8. Of chapter 13? Did I say 13? 13:1 first. Look at 13:1. Acts 13:1. Are you there, Avigono? Are you there, Avigono? Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and what? As Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Menon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and who? Look at verse 2, 1, 2, 3, go. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work whereunto I have what? Called them. Now let's just verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And when they had fasted and prayed, and they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Are we together? They laid hands on them and sent. Is that ordaining into more work of responsibility? Is that more work of ministry? So hands can be used to separate people into more work of the ministry. Look at something. So we saw that hands were laid to ordain deacons in Acts 6. Are we together? Hands were laid on Paul. And we see that hands were laid on Barnabas and Saul for the work that the Holy Ghost will what? Have them do. So you can lay hands on people for healing. You can lay hands for impartation. You can lay hands to what? Ordain people into ministry. Now, another thing you can do with laying on hands is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many of you heard when I was talking to Sister Rose to drop her Bible yesterday? You know, Sister Rose wanted to get somebody filled. Sister Rose wanted to open the Bible. And why is that the proper practice that I have taught you to do, for instance? But it's only a practice when you have time. Are we together? Yeah, because your hands are communicators and transmitters of God's power, and sometimes you will not have the space to get someone to be speaking to. Because before you finish showing them Mark 16, 1 Corinthians, the pastor will say, let's come together. Eventually, the person did not speak in tongues. Right? So there's sometimes you just lay hands on someone, and the person can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let me show you an example in the Bible. I'm not talking from my head. Look at Acts 8. It's in scriptures. Well, Acts 8, verse 12. You see, the Bible tells you in Acts chapter 9, where we read earlier on, the hands were laid on Paul by Ananias. Is it Acts 10, Acts 9 or thereabout? The hands were laid on Ananias and on Paul, and he received the sight and was full of the Holy Ghost. Right? Look at Acts 8, verse 12. It says, but when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and what? Now let's read carefully verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which Philip were done. Verse 14 now says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had what? They received the word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, they prayed for them that they might what? They might what?
received the Holy Ghost. So what in verse 14, the Bible tells you that the apostles heard that the people of Samaria had received the word of God. Dear saints, when you receive the word of God, have you not received the Holy Ghost? When you hear the gospel, which is the word of God, and you believe it, what comes into your heart? The Holy Spirit. But the Bible tells you that they had to send some people to go and meet them so that they can receive the Holy Ghost. Now, the two receives in the two verses are two different Greek words. Altogether, one of them is lambano. And lambano is so. The first Greek word there, receive, is something that comes from outside, inside. So when you hear the word of God, the Holy Ghost that was not in you comes inside of you. Right? When you now receive, which is the lambano, is you take from inside and demonstrate what? Outside. That's lambano. That's what happened in Acts 2:4. What happened? They were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak. That's lambano. They had received the Holy Spirit when they believed the gospel. So the Bible tells you that the apostles heard that Samaria, they've heard the word of truth, they believed the gospel and they received the Holy Ghost. But it now says they sent people down to Samaria to lay hands on them so that they can receive the Holy Ghost. Are we together? So how do you know the differences? We have to go back to the Greek word to find out the difference between. But the second receive there is the lambano, to lay hold, to lay your hands on, to hold on to something, to lambano, to stretch forth to something and catch. Are we together? And that will be seen by an expression that is performed by the believer. So look at verse 16. For as yet he was falling upon none of them, right? Only they were baptized in the what? Name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read verse 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Then laid their hands on them and they received. That means they laid their hands on them. That is Peter and who? Peter and John laid hands on them and they lambanoed the Holy Ghost. They already received when they believed the word of God. So they received the Holy Ghost. That means they began to give expression to the Holy Ghost. That means they spoke in tongues, gave interpretation, flowed in things of the Spirit. Are we here? So they sent Peter and John after Philip had preached in Samaria with the sole goal of what? Preaching or baptizing? Baptizing, laying hands. So that means they went into Samaria with one purpose, to lay hands. You get that? To lay hands, so that what will happen? So they can speak in, or they can receive the Holy Ghost, that is flow in the ability of the Holy Ghost. So what did Simon see? Look at what did Simon see? Look at verse 18. 1, 2, 3, go. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them what? What did Paul, Peter now say? Saying, verse 19, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands on, he may receive the Holy Ghost. What did Peter now say in verse 21 to 3? Go. Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou art taught that the gift of God. Now hold on. What did Peter call the gift of God in verse 20? So he called the gift of God, so he referred to the laying on of hands as a gift of God. You see that, right? So he said, so what did Simon see? Simon said, hey, these people lay hands. I want that gift so I can lay hands on who they can receive. Are we together? What did Peter say? Peter said, your money perishes with you. Now, Peter did not say that it was wrong or so Peter, in the real sense, Simon acknowledged that there was something that happened where hands are laid, and Peter did not dispute that. Altogether, that's why Peter did not tackle to say, nothing really happened. Now he knew something happened, but he said that your money perished too, because you thought you would buy the gift of God or with your what? With your money. But today, what do we say? Money is how you connect to God's grace. Say grace. You know, you cannot connect to the oil of my life without sowing a seed. Are we together? Whilst you can give money to somebody, your ministry girl, somebody as in obedience to scriptures, it is not a requirement to receive from a man, except a covetous man. Are we together? What did Peter say? You know, this is a practice we do in the church generally. You offer money to a man who you see operating in the gift of the Spirit because you want to connect. You say you want to tap. All together. You know, Pastor, I want to so they say to connect. It's Bluetooth knowledge that is doing you. Infrared. That's what is doing you somewhere, one way or the other. Right? What you receive freely. And you know, some pastor will not pray for you if you don't bring money. I hope you know. So pastors will not look at you if you don't. So there are some churches, if you don't have money, you can't access the pastor.
Are we together? Now I understand the reason. I know if the church does what they ought to do, there will be no need for a pastor who has 100,000 members, for 100,000 members to want to see him. That's why when you see a pastor, for instance, who has 200,000 members, 100,000 members, most likely than not, only the rich can have access to his fair. When you don't teach the believers what they ought to know and what they ought to do, you will suffer for it in the eventual long run. Imagine if I had to... We're not more than 40 here. Imagine if I had to carry all your cases on my head individually, everything about your life. Or the best thing I can do is to restrict people that reach me. As soon as I just finish my service, all this and my leader will just pilot me. I'll go into the office. Are we together? You can't have access to pastor. Right? But you know, if you were people that disturb me, when I finish service, I will do that. You know, most times, more often than not, I'm usually the last person to leave this auditorium. You know now, when I finish teaching, I'll finish teaching at 12 o'clock. I'll still be here till 2 o'clock, 2:30. Because I'm not bothered that somebody's going to come and disturb me with, Pastor, the dream I had. Pastor, forget about doctrine. The way they pursued me, Pastor, if they pursue you like that, Pastor, you will run. Imagine that what I was dealing with every Sunday to Friday. I'll not be using my prayer. I'll not tell anyone I'm praying along with you. I know a lot of times when pastors tell you they're praying with you, nobody is praying anything with you. Because we like to sleep too. And we need to sleep. But all I do, I'll just put all your case together and put it on that paper. I'll use 1 hour to pray for all of you at once. I'm thinking, say, Lord Jesus, I don't even know what they wrote. But there is everything on this prayer, Lord. I'm just speaking in tongues on their behalf. Keep on turning of each other, turn on now. I want to experience, say, thank you, Lord, for answered prayers. And I now tell each and every one of you individually, if you see how I interceded for you. Are we together? You know, so in the real sense, we do a lot of this is MMM. When you give money to a pastor because you want to receive from a pastor, it is MMM. It's just that the return on investment is not money. Which becomes more ridiculous when you give money to your pastor because he's rich. You want to now tap into the oil for me. Are we together? That's why a lot of times, you see, a lot of we pastors, it's easy for us to say there's the anointing of miracle, the anointing of wealth is bobo. A lot of times, it is because we've gotten to a stage in ministry where we've had sufficient men who are solid in the ministerial or the governmental bodies or doing well in their career that can bring money to us. When you see people giving money because they want to receive more money, they are giving it as a seed so that more money will just start coming, falling on their head, able God. No, it doesn't work. Nobody gets rich by sowing seed. If you like, sow seed and hands are laid on you. That's why we're always partial in our testimony sharing. Because I say, Pastor laid hands on me and I got the miraculous. You forgot to tell us that you bribed the secretary to the man that gave you the contract. Let me ask you, how many people get a genuine contract in Nigeria without bribing somebody? You don't know about bribe. Okay, let's call it offering. Let's follow up. If I will now call it premium. No, just give them some premium ahead. That you are bribing! And your money will make way for you. I know you will still bribe, and somebody will out-bribe you, and they will not still give you. Guys are bribing now. if he show you that seed sown is one, close your account, come and sow the money to my life. If he show, let me decree over you. You will come back, I'll decree again. You go and look for work. There is no anointing. Do the miraculous happen? I experience miraculous. Right? You ought not to downplay the miraculous. Miraculous actually, they do happen. But the principle on earth to get money is not miraculous, it's by hard work, labor. Getting your hands dirty with the soil. Don't get what I'm not saying. No. Hope your hand dirty means to toil. What is it? I say dirty means do dirty, shady businesses. No. This is how I always tell you, to be get rich, she's doing work. All you need for initial capital is what, 500 naira. Go and sow 500 naira to the most anointed wealthy, most anointed preacher of the anointed for wealth. Give him 500 naira. Next 1 week, go out because you get 500,000. What do you do? You remove your initial capital. If he show you, sow the remaining 499,500. If he show you, roll over the money. If you are sure, roll it. What is it? They roll over our money and disappear from the market. That's why we're rolling our money. To today we've rolled into tears. Mr. Isuka, witness. God is not a Ponzi scheme. God is not a Ponzi scheme master. Roll over. It's your knowledge remember you brought to God's house. I can somebody tell you, they will give you 50% every 50% every day you drop your money. If they come every day, why are they asking you to come? This part of the world, we have very, very interesting people. And you will still invest your money. Instead of you to remove the profit you make, why they are still alive, supposed to remove your capital, at least make capital and if you roll over. That is why MMM will always get rich, because we are covetous. Or you'll be saving money for 3 years. It's all the money you chose to invest because you want to multiply it. Multiply and roll over. Altogether. You have 1 million in your life savings, and you know it took you 5 years to save 1 million. You didn't see your debt allowed to invest. You invested your 1 million and borrow 500k to add. That's how we see the things of God. Because you think God is an MMM master. When you just give him, what does he do? He multiplies it and throws it back to you. All you need is 500 naira to be rich on this earth. That's your initial capital. And that will be your testimony. When any profit you get, you remove the capital. You throw it back until the thing closes. It doesn't come again. You are clear. Altogether, that's what that guy wanted. Simon wanted to do to Peter. He says he offered him money so he can receive the gift of God, which is the laying on of hands that he saw that people were receiving the Holy Ghost by, you know, in front of him in Samaria. Praise God. See, don't be covetous. You know, it's covetousness that makes you sow money into a pastor's life because you want to get more money. There's no other explanation. Spiritual covetousness. Spiritual covetousness that makes you think that because you see a wealthy pastor, you are tapping into grace by giving him money so that you will get more wealthy. There's no other name for you. You are a covetous person. To manage this more than you have, at least you have money afternoon evening food. You can eat 3 times a day. Now you drop everything, nothing came back. I told of my friend who was saving money to buy a sewing machine. Let's assume she has not bought it because she has changed passion. But at the time, she wanted to buy a sewing machine, and I went to a meeting with her. And the man said, you know, that money on your hands, I cannot meet your needs, so it has a siege. And she packed everything, closed the account, sent to the account. From there, it took her almost 2 years to recover. That's why a church ought not to put herself under pressure. Do you know what I mean by that? Because we are trying to compete with ourselves. We begin to outdo ourselves or try to outdo ourselves. Imagine I come now and just say, God's palace, why? I went to one church. I saw that the whole of their stage was LED screen. I see all of us need to contribute. You are not doing well. Let's contribute. Then that screen is like 3 million. Let's just buy it. You know, when you beautify God's house, he will beautify you. We don't know the plenty. They will say that to you, but they say, I'm oy. That's why I say, you don't know the plenty, you don't know the number. You know the total number of people that have done it and they are not beautiful. You should train the church to the point that they know how to give their commitment or give from the level of their commitment. You know, I said something before. The day I did the exegesis on tithing in this church, brother, our offering and everything dropped. Why? Because I've been able to expose your heart not to give into your fears again. Because a lot of times what we're doing was to give into our fears. What's the fear? They told you that if you don't give God 10, he will not protect the 90. So out of fear, hey, the best thing. If some of you even give your church account to your officer, your account officer in your office, sending order, don't send it anymore, just send it straight to GP. But the day we did a teaching on it, everything dropped. You thought that tithe was for you. You thought I was teaching that the tithe was for you to eat. You increased your meal per week. And you reduce your giving in the church. It's an apostolic practice. You give on the level of your conviction. And you give generously. You give generously with your heart. So what we did with that teaching was to expose our hearts that we were covetous givers. Now that pastor has told you that nobody gets rich by tithing, you stopped giving. Because we've done exegesis. Are we together? As a church, we won't put ourselves under pressure. Are we together? Are we together? We won't put ourselves under pressure. We won't put ourselves under pressure. You know, if as at yesterday, before in Christ, we didn't have the money we needed, and we needed to use the altar there and put canopy, we do it. But for me to go and not be sleeping, you know, a church under the tree is as good as a church inside the AC. You know, people can be under that. You know, people can be in a church under AC, and the pastor is not in God's will. And people can be under the tree on a bench, and their pastor is in God's will. Results are not proof that you are in alignment with God's will. The jobs you have are not proof that you are obeying God. Because there are people that are outwardly in disobedience to God, yet they are doing well financially more than all of us together. Are we together? So, don't let your finances have your heart. Don't let the cares of this world have your heart. I'm ending where I started. Don't allow the concerns. Dear saints, is it legitimate to want to have a house to put your head on or to put a roof over your head? But don't allow yourself to be given to unnecessary competition. Okay? See, this is now. We graduated together. It's not 2016. Okay? And you already have your house in Abuja. What am I doing? Okay? We'll be rich. Okay? Did you hear that? Somebody will say, Pastor say, not all the fingers are equal. Why is your hand the shortest? Oga, what everybody will be rich. Not everybody will be equal. But everybody as a believer, or all believers will be equal by the gifting of the Holy Ghost. What I mean is that every believer has the same Holy Ghost. So I admonish you, dear saints, don't give in to covetousness. Don't give in to competition. Unhealthy competition. Let it be that if you are competing, you are competing about how to minister and flow more in the things of the Spirit. Ah, that brother came, he just edified and just gave us word of knowledge, and he was very accurate too. Hey, the same Spirit in him, the same Spirit in me, I was the same Spirit in Christ Jesus. So what he can do, I can do. Let that be your covetousness conversation. Not, why is Brazil going to be changing native now? As if it's the one that has tailor. You two now go and look for your own tailor. This your native is nice, so who's your tailor? You're trying to find out who the tailor is, so you go and look for a bigger tailor. Yes, Sister Oyi. Oh, that's beautiful. Wow, that's lovely, Sister Oyi. Wow. You now go and look for Sister Oyi's catalog and start trying to compete. The next Sunday, when you come to church, the usher will sit down. You want to sit down beside Brasu Gomi so everybody can compare that it's not the same material. You know, these things happen in local church. And if these things are not said in local church, it can happen without us knowing. It can happen. It can happen. That's one of the... So for instance, let me say this carefully, and I want you to listen to me carefully. You know, someone who might not be able to afford to have so many clothes might be put under pressure because as a church, we always post pictures of ourselves after service. Did I say don't post pictures after service? Is that what you heard from what I just said? If that's all you heard, you need to go and listen to this track from the beginning. But you can be under pressure. Eh? Maybe last week you wore your blue clothes. Next Sunday you wore your blue clothes. When media team now posted it, now coincidentally your picture and now side by side. Someone is now asking, is this from the same meeting? Is it from the same service? Is this from the same meeting? Or you be asking yourself, is it the same meeting they posted late? You not put yourself under pressure. You that can manage yourself and use your money to do lots of other investments, maybe buy courses, do this degree, do that one, you begin to now start buying clothes. And the day they don't snap, you'll be angry. And you imagine, I changed my clothes today, they don't snap. When Brata will now come and do like this, you want to worship God into his direction. You worship God into his direction. Just so that he will capture you. Bow your heads and let's pray this morning. We'll continue on Wednesday.